It's Thursday, February 8th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge.
I always do that too.
Yeah, you always do that.
That's my intro. Even in person, we still have our mannerisms that we'll bring in. We'll make sure we'll put them in there for the show so you can feel like, hey, you know, we're back in our studios at home. So,
is it weird to be in person after, you know, all this time of just seeing each other on Zoom?
It's so much better being in person.
It's so much better.
So much better. Unfortunately, you know, we live on different sides of the United States, so, you know, we make it work though. But we'd rather do it this way.
To be fair, we also did it on Zoom when we were in the same state.
You don't have to tell them that, but I'm just saying, you know. Yes, it's better in person. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Austin Eckler, as he's already introduced himself. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, we're back, man, for the final episode of this is year three for me, year two for yourself, man. And it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure working with this cast and everyone here, and looking forward to this final episode, wrapping it up. And I know we got some interesting stuff to get into, and some stuff I'm looking forward to, some I'm not really, but it is what it is.
Hey, it is what it is. That's life, man. Well, we are actually, as you said, we are live on location at the Venetian Resort, Las Vegas.
Yes.
What a great place to be. You spend your off seasons here in Vegas, so this is all like right down the road, man. Easy for you.
This is the backyard. You know, we're out at some, you know, little gathering at a restaurant. I'm like, well, I'm going to go home. Like, hey, everyone have fun, you know. They got getting Ubers and go to, the, you know, the stay in the hotel, and I'm like sleeping in my bed. So it's been a blessing. Yeah, it doesn't always work out like that, but it did this year. So it's been nice. It's been nice.
I'm jealous of you.
Yes.
I've been in Vegas now for too many days. my contacts are all dried out walking through. Yeah. Like I got the last two mornings to go to the gym.
There you go. There you go. I respect that. Absolutely. Because not a lot of people are going to come out here and go to the gym. They're like, oh, well, I'm in Vegas. They're going to make excuses. And there ain't no damn excuse. Get in the gym out there, people. Get in the gym.
You hear that, Charles McDonald? We got to get in the gym. anyways, walking there, I mean, just walking through cig smoke and like,
yeah.
I'm like, what a weird environment. Like, I'm literally going to the gym, to the spa right now. Right. Let's get the lungs filled up with some cigarette smoke.
Yeah, Vegas is a different animal. You know, unfortunately, that's one of the downfalls. But there's a lot of great things about Vegas. You know, but yeah, the cigarette smoke is something you got to deal with. So, and that's when you're in the hotels, you got to deal with it nonstop. So, yeah.
Well, hey, it feels like it's been 20 years since we talked, man. A lot has happened. The last time we talked was like November. Early December?
Yeah, a long time
early
ago.
Early December?
I had hair back when we talked last.
No, you did not. I had less hair. My hair.
Okay, line, maybe I did.
My hair.
That mustache, though, has been something else since the last time I saw you. Maybe it's always been, but you had the beard.
I had the beard.
That's what it was.
I've really changed and grown and evolved. I'm doing a lot of weird health stuff now.
What do you mean?
Cold plunging. You want to talk cold plunging?
Oh, you're one of those type of people?
I'm one of those type of people. I'm drinking salt in my water.
You're a 5 a.m.er. You know, you're getting up at 5 a.m. You know, reading your book and getting in the cold plunge.
I'm not reading the book.
Okay. Hey, I mean, hey, shout out if that's your lifestyle. Shout out to that. As long as it gets you going, whatever gets you going, you do that. So, hey, if it's one of those things you're just trying out, I respect it.
Oh, it's a lifestyle. My wife thinks it's like a cult, actually.
So. Well, yeah, I feel like that's kind of like, yeah, this is the following where it's like, oh, I'm a cold plunger. And it's like you're one of us now if you're in that group, you know, like, nice. And there's like, I don't know, telepathic, you know, like messages you all send to each other like, yeah, bro. And like flexing the mirror and stuff. I don't know. I'm rambling now.
So far, you completely described every day of my life. So, yeah. So what's been going on with you, man?
How many times an hour do you flex in the mirror? No.
Oh, wow. I'm just what's been going on with you last
wow,
last few weeks?
What has been going on with me? So kind of everything balls up during the season as far as off the field stuff. And then right as soon as, you know, the season ends, it's just kind of like, bah. And so it's go see people, catch up on the business stuff, getting everything kind of set up for the off season, you know, get back into the workout routine, getting married in a few months. So, you know, got to make the rounds, meet all the family and do all that. So it's been amazing. It's been really cool. I've been, you know, continuing to work with my team now off the field, which I love all of them. They do a great job. We have a great chemistry, great culture. And so, yeah, we're just out here trying to build, make an impact on the world, you know, through the foundation, through my app experience, you know, fan engagement type stuff, right? I'm out here talking Radio Row, hanging out, fans do meet and greets. So it's just continue to be present, look for opportunities, grow yourself and learn from the mistakes.
Well, it's been funny talking to all, you know, different players this week and you know, catching up with guys and stuff like that and saying
everyone's doing that, right?
Well, some people are doing like, yeah, I'm taking it easy. This is where I got my vacation time in. And meanwhile, you're out here just like, all right, what else can I get involved in?
Well, yeah. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's not. Let my fiance answer that. It's who I am. Who's who I am. I don't know. That's just what I do. And I'm sure there's going to be a vacation. You know, we're going to our honeymoon and all that stuff. So we'll be out there. And then
where are you going?
We're going to Bora Bora.
Ooh.
So you can find me in a little hut over the water. Yeah.
I'm gonna leave you alone. Oh, during that week.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no problem. You don't want to do a show.
You don't.
You'd have to explain it to her.
Mel, live stream from the honeymoon.
From Bora Bora.
And we're back. No, definitely not. Yeah, that's where we'll do the eyebrow gate. And speaking of which, we do have some official business to catch up on.
Oh, yeah, we should probably talk about, this is a fantasy show, right?
Yeah, we should talk some fantasy football.
All right, let's get into it.
Let's talk about the Eckler's Edge Invitational League.
You
lost in the playoffs, but more importantly, Austin, I didn't make the playoffs. My team was problematic. We don't have to revisit that. That's ancient history.
Here's the thing. I'm salty because was Josh Jacobs gonna play? Was he not gonna play? And it was a scenario where I didn't know, left him in, and I was going through something, we were doing something, and I didn't have time to take him out and put in whoever else I had on the bench. I still would have lost by half a point, but still, I'm just like, come on, man, I gotta be better. But
it was Christmas.
That's what it was. Yeah. So it's tough, but still, I got to be a better manager of that. But hey, I'm so proud of, how far I made it. And then also, Yahoo's doing a good job with the grades. It played out, I had an A-, obviously, okay, right there. You got to see, you didn't make the playoffs. So maybe the grades were right. I'm just saying, maybe they're onto something with those grades.
Well, yeah, from now on, I just won't do any more analysis. I'll just let the grades and the AI and the computers.
Slip the algorithm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What am I even doing hosting this podcast? Like, let's just get the robot in
just
here.
Just ChatGPT, right?
That'd be something. Exactly, yeah. Right. Actually, don't say that. If any of the bosses are listening, I might get replaced. But a few folks did make it farther than you in the playoffs. But most importantly, Chris Harris was vanquished in the postseason, pulled an 0-7 Patriots, going undefeated and then losing in the championship to Nick Ercolano from BDGE Fantasy. So I shipped Nick the trophy.
Nice.
It's in New York with him. Knew that was not going to be. I went ahead and was like, yeah, you just pull that box out of the attic because it's not going to stay here. I know I'm not winning this league. But the more important thing, congrats to Nick.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, congrats.
More importantly, though, the big thing we have to catch up on is indeed Eyebrow Gate. In the preseason, you, for no reason at all, other than just you were feeling it in the moment, a listener sent in a bold prediction saying that both Lions running backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, would finish inside the top 15 in Yahoo standard scoring, half PPR. And Austin just goes, no, that's never happened, never going to happen. It had happened before. And I told you that the Saints example from 2017.
A decade ago, half a decade ago it happened.
You're going from decade to half a decade. It's getting more and more recent. I said that was going to be a problematic thing for you. And sure enough, both Lions running backs scored inside the top 15. Jahmyr Gibbs is electric. Dave Montgomery was electric. And you now have to shave your eyebrows. So we're not going to do it today. Just if you're tuning into Eckler's Edge, you're listening, you're watching, whatever. Austin has a wedding coming up, as he just said, and I am a man of fairness. I'm a good guy. Okay, so I was not going to have him. And I just got married in the last 2 years, and I could not imagine what the situation would have been if I showed up with no eyebrows. So I'm not going to do that to him. I'm not going to do that to you. But at some point, you're going to have to do this, man.
Yeah. So, first, we got to give credit where credit is due. Shout out to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. You guys did your thing, and it was awesome to watch. Love you guys for doing that, represent for the running backs and for yourself. So, shout out to them, absolutely, and just the rest of the organization, because it takes a village to be able to put that type of production on the field, especially in the run game. It was something that I thought was extremely bold. You know, you have a first round rookie, but rookies, you never know how, quick they're going to be able to come on and make an impact into the scene. Dave Montgomery, who was doing his thing. So they're like, Dave is going to be, leading the horse. And then all of a sudden they start just both popping off, and it lasted the entire season. And the bold prediction was pretty accurate. It was, what did they actually end up? What were the official rankings?
I think if anyone can look it up, I'm pretty sure it was 11 and 14. So it was close.
But again, man, that is incredible. That is an incredible performance. And like I said, I enjoyed watching these guys. At one point I was like, yep, I mean, it's inevitable. Like watching the way this team is rolling. So happy for both those guys. Like I said, just even being for the running backs and what I've been an advocate for, of just getting us an opportunity to show that, we still make a huge impact on a team. Those guys crushed it. and definitely did that.
Two guys that were
Gibbs was 11 and Montgomery was 14.
That's what I said. Look at that.
There you go. You guy knows the stuff. ChatGPT right here.
Look at that. Yeah, we don't need no robots. I got this thing down.
ChatGPT.
But it was really interesting too because they kind of embody how, like two different ways that you can find a running back, right? Because they draft Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. Got a lot of criticism for that pick too, by the way. Like you trade up for a non-premium position when you have all these assets, you know, and early on in the season, man, it was looking like they didn't quite have a real role for Jahmyr Gibbs. And the funny part is we broke that down on our show. Mm-hmm. ESPN ended up using it on like their live show when Jahmyr Gibbs started popping off saying like, yeah, Austin had these kind of notes for Jahmyr and now he's doing those exact things that Austin was saying he wanted to see. And then the other way they find Montgomery is a free agent. So it's like they gave you two examples of where you can find value at that position.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to what you were talking about, where you have two running backs that you're putting in position that are going to be playing together. And you're like, okay, well, how is this going to work out? How is this going to play? Well, they're running the ball like crazy over there. Like they're feeding these guys running the ball. And so it ended up making sense after you saw their game plan. You know, so that's one thing, like when you go into the draft, like, okay, why did they make that? Well, it's like, oh, maybe there's some behind the scenes that you don't necessarily see. You didn't know that they're going to be running the ball 30, 40 times a game like they were doing. And man, they were dynamic. But just watching, you know, Gibbs come on as the season continued to progress. I mean, You can teach technique and all that stuff, but there's some things you can't teach, which is just tackle breaking, right? Being explosive, and he has all of that, you know? So, yeah, even if he is, like, tipping things and doing things like that, he's going to continue to get better. He's going to continue to blossom, and I cannot wait to see that.
One thing that I've kind of, like, challenged myself on in terms of viewing a situation like that is not seeing every situation is the same, because we just inherently we know that's not true with these teams. Like every offense is not the same as every offense, right? There are different things there. And for the Lions specifically, they had built up a situation where sure they could get replacement level production by finding some, you know, running back off the street, or Dave Montgomery would have had a great season if they never drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. But they had a unique situation with that offensive line, with the resources they had dedicated to it. Frank Ragnow, one of the best centers in the league. Panay Sewell, I mean, ridiculous out there, like, you know, pulling from the right side left side runs. That was, a unique situation where they were able to maximize something they had already invested in by then investing in Jahmyr Gibbs. And it's not too dissimilar, honestly, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, with what the 49ers did with Christian McCaffrey, another move that got a lot of criticism at the time. But he was able to take what was already a great ecosystem. And sure, again, you could get replacement level, running back, whatever, but that investing in the position took it to yet another level.
Yeah, and it's crazy what it did over there. And it goes down because each team has like this identity. Like we talk about identities, and when you see it play out, it's so beautiful to watch. And you see how it comes together. Like, now I get it. Like I can see it. Like, aha. And it has a high level of play. And that's what we're all searching for. You know, that's what we're all searching for. You either have it and you're trying to maintain it as long as you can, which is tough because there's different contracts and people getting paid and all of these different things. And if you're not in the situation where you have, you're trying to draft, you're trying to find free agents, you're trying to piece it together with the coaches and all of that. And so it's the same thing every single year. You see the teams that rise to the top are ones that have that chemistry, have that culture, have their identity, and have the coaching staff around. They put it together, and it makes sense why these two teams are in the Super Bowl.
We just did a first round mock draft for next year. Of course, like it's
damn, way too early.
Damn, like, February. And, do we even know the editor's like, right now? You know, it'd be great. Let's do a mock draft.
The Super Bowl's not even over yet.
We're not even done with this season. We're already mocking for next season because, you know, we're all just a little screwed up in the head there with the fantasy football stuff. But that, we love that. We love the passion. But I took Jahmyr Gibbs at the 12th pick in the first round, the final pick in the first round. And I know that there are definitely
of last year, you're saying?
Going into this year.
For a
mock draft, right? Like, so
you took him where?
12th pick, final pick of the first round.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting to think about him as a fantasy player for next year, because he's not going to have the cleanest, most flawless profile that you look for in a first round back, right? Because he is sharing a backfield with David Montgomery, and everything went so perfectly this season. You wonder about just like, you know how it is in the NFL. You always say it. Every season is its own unique thing. Mm-hmm. And just because they were doing this past year,
right.
Maybe the touchdown efficiency is not there. Maybe they were able to keep their offensive coordinator. That's a big part of it. But still, some changeovers, things happen, whatever. Am I running a too thin of a margin for error with Jahmyr Gibbs as a first-round pick? I think some people will argue that. But at the same time, for me, I think I want to double down on that ecosystem and view this guy as a first round pick next year.
And it's so tough, because even if you look at like my situation like this last year, like pretty much had all of the same pieces back, right? The whole offensive line was the same, right? They had the same receivers, and it's like, okay, look at our production. We had a couple changes here and there, but you never can tell. You never can tell. But even just looking at their scenario, right? And okay, what are the pieces that are coming back? Obviously, no, David just signed his, like, I think 3 years. And then, you know, Gibbs is a rookie. It's going to be probably the same type of situation. Maybe, you know, there's one that stands out more than others. But here's the thing, you know, even going back to some of these other tandem backs, like even like when Zeke was there and Pollard were there and they were bouncing off of each other. And it's like, both these guys are very productive. In my opinion, I think it makes for a healthier room, right? Because now you have two guys to rely on. And so it almost takes some off. As a competitor, you might be like, oh, no, I want you to take every single rep. But it's like, longevity is definitely a thing that, you know, is something that is talked about, especially in fantasy as well. So I think it's a great pick, because even though they are going to be splitting, I think it helps them both out with their health, which that's 100%. But then also they can continue to play at a high level. And if they continue to do what they did last year, I mean, it makes sense because they're right there. I mean, are you taking David up in there as well?
That's a tougher one. And again, it was only a first round mock.
So you're not on the hook for that one.
I mean, definitely don't even hold me accountable for anything. Okay. I'm doing about next fantasy season in February.
Yeah.
But I think he's an interesting guy. Maybe like maybe a third round pick, something like that. I think
Gibbs comes in, is more of the primary there over time?
I think so, just because he's younger. He does have the pass, like a little more pass catching role there, which is in fantasy pretty important.
Yeah.
But I love your point about how that the presence of Montgomery is not necessarily, it will be pitched as a negative, because you're right. Fantasy managers are spoiled. Maybe want that guy to get every single touch. You've definitely felt that.
McCaffrey, you know?
They want everyone to be Chris McCaffrey. Yep. But yeah, you brought up Tony Pollard. I talked to him yesterday at Radio Row, and I asked him like, what was the number one thing you learned this season? Without Zeke, like, you didn't have Zeke there. It was your backfield. What was the difference? For one, he said like, hey, I wasn't even healthy until like week 13, you know, because he was coming off an injury. But two, it was, I didn't know exactly what I needed to do to take care of my body as a feature back, like how much I needed to get massages, how much I needed to get certain treatments and everything. It's a whole big change up that we on the outside, you just think like, yep, just plop him up into the next role. But there's a whole thing that goes into it.
Yeah, and I've talked about this too. It's like after my games, like especially when I was younger, like when Melvin would be there, I was like, I felt good after games. I'm like, yeah,
I'm
like, let's go, baby. And then, you know, started to transition to where, like, hey, Austin, you're the feature. And it's like, my body hurts. Like, like I'm walking home and I'm going down the stairs sideways in the morning because my ankles, and it's like, my body is so beat up. And then like they start bringing it off you in practice. It's like, that's great. But I mean, the games where you're getting most of the pounding anyway. Having that, I'm telling you, having that tandem definitely has helped. And not saying it can't be done. You can see a lot of, you know, backs who've had their own backfield for a while. But it definitely feels different on the body, no doubt. And so I think it could definitely be seen as a negative as far as, oh, he's going to be taking his reps. But I think over time, it actually is more positive because there's going to be more availability because of it.
And that's really what we want. We want these guys, you know,
exactly,
to be on the field and be healthy and,
exactly,
and be able to be productive and to just watch it, man. I mean, I'm excited to see that team next year. I'm excited to see you without eyebrows at some point. We will have to figure out when that gets done and how that gets done and what we can do about it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do it today. Like I said, I'm a fair.
It's definitely got to be post wedding for sure.
Oh yeah, you know, that's what, as a married man, I'll give you, you know, just a little tip here. Lock it in first.
Yeah.
And then do some weird stuff, you know. Then become a cold plunging freak. And
there you go. Okay.
Hey, I gotta wake up. I gotta wake up at 6 a.m. and jump in my ice cold pool outside. Right. You know,
man.
Men are weird. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about some big game that's coming up here in a couple days.
There's a big game.
It's a little thing.
I'm not playing it, so I didn't know about it.
All right,
I'm just kidding.
We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Of course, we're here for a reason. Super Bowl 58, Chiefs, 49ers. One team you're super familiar with, Kansas City. You see those guys all the time. Sure, you would just absolutely love Pat Mahomes, you know, knifing you twice a year.
Okay,
super great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, you know. We don't hold back here on Eckler's Edge, I guess, you know. We just let it.
Last pot of the season, man. Can't hold anything back now.
We're going to let it out. This is how it is. Okay.
But on a serious note, we wanted to get your perspective on both of these two running games. So I kind of want to call this segment, like, let's give some people some notes so that they go to their Super Bowl party and become the smartest person in the room.
Yeah. I mean, well, I feel like when you're at a Super Bowl party, you know, you have all the stuff that's together and everything. Everyone's got some, you know, maybe some beverages going, you know, they got the food. Are they paying attention to the game or not? So it's, I'm just saying, it's probably not going to be hard to sound like the smartest one in the room.
If you're listening to a fantasy podcast or even a football podcast,
you already
got a leg
up. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, who are you trying to impress?
Your friends are already probably pretty annoyed with you anyway. Because right. You're going to be the guy like, yeah, you could have that third beer, but like, let me tell you about zone runs versus right. man runs. They're probably already sick of you anyways, but we're going to make them even more sick of you here.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, when we're talking about San Fran, if we just want to get into the running sure. game, something that I'm really, like, just looking forward to watching is just how they attack the edge. Mm-hmm. And when I mean that, it's really, like, multiple ways that they do it. They got pulling guards, right? But really the tossing McCaffrey too, and just the way they're able to collapse his edge and the guy get guys in space, right? Whether that's the receivers, whether that's O-line in space, they do a really good job getting connected, which is hard to do. You have to have athletic people and people that are willing to go out there and block, you know, potential receivers on linebacker type bodies type of thing. And so that's something I've been really impressed by. Like, when they attack the edge, I'm watching Christian run 5-6 yards down the field before anyone even touches it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's just disaster from then, because good luck trying to get this guy on the ground. He's so dynamic. So that's one thing that really impressed me about San Fran. So if you want to sound smart, be like, okay, guys, we're going to be paying attention to this outside zone game, and we're going to be paying attention to this sweep game and watching how these tackles can down block, how these receivers can crack block on these ends, and then how they can attack the edge. When it comes to the Chiefs, though, it's a little bit different.
Let's stick on the 49ers for just a second, because, one, I love your note about the other guys that are involved here. We obviously know about offensive line, that whole thing, yeah. and we'll get into that. But that is what stands out to me watching the 49ers, is seeing guys like, I mean, obviously George Kittle or Kyle Juszczyk be involved there. I mean, from a passing perspective too, they're one of the most productive and most efficient teams out of multiple tight end sets, multiple running back sets. Like, they're one of the only teams, I think they have 370 passing yards out of 22 personnel. They're the only team with more than 300 this year, which that doesn't sound like a lot, but for that particular
just
22 package.
22 personnel, there's a lot of big people on the field, for those of you that don't know. And a lot of big people on the field usually means run.
Right. But it isn't even just those big guys necessarily. It's the receivers. And, you know, that's a position mm-hmm. that I love to watch the most. And, I mean, I had a conversation with Juwan Jennings at opening night. And I just was like, man, talk to me about, you know, your guys' like mindset and mentality from a blocking standpoint. Because that's really – and I know you know this as a running back. When your receivers are able to pop you loose, that's when big plays really come. And he went into all this detail just about how much all of those guys – obviously, they study film from a coverage standpoint. But these guys are meticulous about studying incoming, like the secondary guys in terms of – angles, leverage, everything. And this is, he's like, this is something that Coach Shanahan preaches. Like, if you don't go that right angle, you take inside when you should go outside, it's a missed assignment.
Oh, yeah. And it's not only a missed assignment, but it's also me as a running back getting cracked in the head.
Right.
That's literally how it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And so if you're able to get bodies on these safeties, I call them the touchdown blocks. And if you can get a touchdown, I mean, we're spring, there's no one left. There's no one left. So all we do, hey, O-line's getting up to the linebacker. Usually it's a safety coming down in the box, maybe rotating late and making the play. And if we can get bodies on these guys and leave us a corner one-on-one, I mean, let's go. We're running. We're going to be number one in the league. And that's what we've seen with Christian and, you know, Brandon Ayuk, you know, going and getting in there, right? You know, Juszczyk getting in there, obviously. And then Kittle also getting locked in on these guys. So the more you can get, the secondary blocked, right? The more you can get the receivers connected to these guys. I mean, your run game goes from, you know, 4.5, and you're pushing 5-6 yards a carry throughout the entire season. And it changes the whole dynamic of everything. But also, you got to have the people with the right mentality to go do that. Because not everyone, as far as especially receivers, are willing to go put their nose in there. Because, hey, look, they get paid to catch the ball, and, you know, that's what they think. That's where they think there's sometimes that it ends. And sometimes they see, hey, I got to block a linebacker, and that guy's really big, and I'm not that big. And so, you know, you hear this business decision, but it's unfortunate sometimes.
Because there was a play in the AFC Championship game where Rashee Rice, and he was doing the right thing. He was out there trying to block for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But he got lit up and just flew backwards and that's gonna happen. But it's funny, you know, you definitely watch receivers as much as I do. You see some guys will do the little touch, and then other guys, it's like, well, I know the camera's on me, so I'll really lay him out this time, and kind of too much.
Yeah,
it's a, there's a balance to it, and the
there's
Niners
no balance.
Guys,
there's no balance. Man.
Well, you
can't
do those. You can't
there,
do
bro.
Those two extremes.
I need you in there. I need you because if you don't, I'm literally getting smacked in the head. You know, and you know it's detrimental. Now it looks it makes our whole team look like trash. And so there is no balance. You get in there. That's got it. I need you to have that mentality. And if you're like, oh, you know that, you know, I'm above that, then it's like that's where I have problems. That's where
no,
I
mean there's a balance between like. Don't be trying to make a highlight block, like hold your block and
oh yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't come be a hero and try to like flying burrito and just like you're flying through the air and yeah.
Don't try to go viral for that stuff, man. Just do your job.
You will get hurt. But no, I need your mentality has got to be like, I'm going to absolutely get connected to this guy. We'll say it that.
And let's just talk Christian McCaffrey here real quick. Again, everybody knows he's a superstar, but he is similar, and I mean like the 10x version of what I said with Jahmyr Gibbs, where the 49ers were already this great run team, and they were particularly a great outside zone run team. You know, that is where that offense has been butter in its bread for literally decades, and they're still
doing it.
They're still doing it, top three in zone runs this year. There have been, I believe McCaffrey has one of the highest success rate among running backs on zone runs, but really since he got there, they've also started to implement like more power runs, more man gap stuff, and that's where it's been, to me, watching this offense, like, yeah, you already have a good thing. Let's go get the best guy in the business and not just take it to another level, but start throwing more things at people.
I mean, when you add layers to your run game, I mean, it's basically impossible to defend. I mean, you're going to, you'll be able to stop it here and there. But when you have guys up front that can actually do pull schemes, right? Guys that can run on the edge, guys that can zone block, guys that can block a duo, guys that can, you know, do some misdirection. I mean, That's why they're in the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. They have the guys up, do it up front, and that's why. And they have the runner who's getting it done as well. And you know, pair that with the passing game that they have going on, where they have these dynamic guys on the outside as well that are playmakers as well. It makes sense. And then you know, we haven't talked about their defense, who's you know is pretty good as well. So yeah. I mean, they got it all right now. They got all the pieces, and like I said earlier, it makes sense why both these teams are in the playoffs and then have made it all the way to the end.
So let's talk Kansas City, and specifically, I want to talk. Less so structurally with their run game. We can throw some of that in there, but
yeah.
I want to know just what you think of Isaiah Pacheco as a player, because it's really fascinating, right? Like he great fantasy pick this year. Mm-hmm. He was running back 13. He scored a bunch of touchdowns, caught seven passes in week 17.
Yeah.
When it was championship time, like he mm-hmm. won a lot of people. I believe he's on Chris Harris's undefeated team. He won a lot of people some titles, but if you like actually dig into the nuts and bolts of their run game from like a success rate standpoint, it's not the most like consistent run game. And I always think of you when we talk about Pacheco, because I remember the first time we talked about him. I don't know if you remember this last year. You were like this number 10. Like what's the deal with this guy that mm-hmm. he just was kind of popping on the scene? I was
right.
Like, yeah, he actually made the roster as a kick returner, and now he's starting to get more reps. And you go, yeah, he kind of runs like a kick returner a little mm-hmm. bit. And I've always thought about that as people talk about his running style and how like angry and aggressive it is.
Right.
So what have you seen from him? Just kind of diving into his game.
Yeah, he's still got that kind of that methodology in his run. When I say like runs like a kick returner, kick returners are absolutely fearless. Like these guys run full speed at other guys running full speed and they don't slow down. And like, I remember I used to play kick return. I'm running like a running back where I'm like trying to make cuts and jukes and I'm losing my momentum and I'm getting teed off on and then I'm down. You know, when it comes to kick return, like even if you watch like Cordell Patterson run, like it is, there's no slowing down. You know, you're a little high, you know, you're running, but it is aggressive and there's nothing stopping you. And he's just been able to do that and break tackles and run through people and he just stay up and keep his legs going. And then it just shows, and that's what's, you know, continue to make him, you know, as successful he's been. And so he still has that same mentality, still has that type of the stature to the way he runs. And so I think it's still the best way to kind of describe it. Like when you watch these returners go and just hit, which is it's crazy to me because I'm like, heck no. After I was back there, I'm like, yeah, I can't, this is not the place for me. I'll block for that guy.
Yeah.
But I ain't this type of runner. Like I'm trying to make a move, things like that. But when it comes to running at full speed at people like that, I'll let the returners do that one. but yeah, I mean, that's what I think he is who he is. And that's why you see like, man, this guy looks like he's running angry. Well, he is. And he's breaking tackles. Kind of like the Marshawn Lynch kind of run where it's like really like kind of like wide, strong. and he just always is continuing to fall forward and always, like, I talk about this too with Dave Montgomery, but knows how to take on like half a man, continue to make sure he breaks a lot of tackles, but continue to fall forward. That's why you've seen so much success with him. And then it's been great for KC too, because then obviously they have Mahomes, you know, who can dish it around, but being able to put the run game to it and then marrying both those up, like, again, it's like, man, plus their defense has been, you know, kicking ass. It makes sense why they're there as well.
Yeah, something I've pushed back on is kind of this idea that, oh, this is the worst Chiefs team that's made it to the Super Bowl. That's kind of like the narrative or whatever. But it's just, to me, it's just a different team.
Yeah, it's an absolutely different team, because you're seeing a lot more, in my opinion, a lot more success in the run game that we haven't seen in the past, because Mahomes has been dishing it out to these receivers. And even then, or Kelce, even then, I feel like, you know, Mahomes still on, he's running around with on his feet. He's making it happen with his feet, which is the most annoying thing playing him, by the way. Yeah. It's like, ah, oh, come on. It's like third and 15. And this guy just running for a first down. Like, come on. But, you know, that's part of his game, and it's one of his strengths. So he can get it done on his feet. Now he can get it done finding Kelce and getting it done through the air. But then now you add this run game, and that's their identity now. I feel like it's been like, hey, let's run. But then also we have, you know, Mahomes to really dish it out. And then their defense has been getting stops for him. So, I mean, they're going to score points with how dynamic they've been in the red zone and how creative they are with everything. And then Kelce also always comes alive, and Pacheco's been punching him in the end zone too. So it's been a good dynamic for him. And the week, yeah, it's like, what do you mean this is the worst, you know, Chiefs team? That doesn't even make any sense to me.
Well, it's because we are obviously so focused on passing games and receivers, and the receivers have struggled this year. You know, I mean, that was an issue, especially early in the season. Now they've kind of narrowed it down to a smaller group of guys. I mean, if you look at the guys they've thrown to in the playoffs, it's like 27 targets for Travis Kelce, 23 targets for Rashee Rice, and then the next highest guy is like 8 or something. You know, they're not getting the ball out to these guys that were making mistakes early on in the season. Rashee Rice has been great in that role as like the crossing route receiver. I mean, he's got like legit juice as a yak player, but it's just a different type of offense that then, now that they've sort of figured that out, and then they've married the run game with the pass game a little bit more, especially out of these like power formations, and shoot, the way the defense is playing, it does all kind of feel a little more cohesive.
Yeah, and look, identities change over the years, but depending on who you have, obviously they lose Tyreek, right? And there's, you can't really fill that spot. Like, you lost one of the best receivers, if not the best in the game, or at least up there. And then it's like, you can't replace that. So you're trying to find different spots. But hey, we found success here with our running game. So, I mean, that's the way football works, right? You change dynamics. But, you know, if you have a lot of great players and you can marry that with coaches that know how to use your strength of your offense or the strength of your team, then you're still going to find success. And so that's what they've been able to do. That's why they've been in the situation that they have. They have great players and they have the great staff. And it seems like they have a great culture. And they've been able to continue to maintain that for the last, you know, like 6 years.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get to a point where, and I've said this, I think, on the Tuesday pod with Nate Tice, like, we're going to get to the point where they're going to be like the Patriots, where, what's wrong with the Patriots in September? What's wrong with the Chiefs in September?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Who gives a damn? Like, call me in January, you know what I mean? Like, we did it this year. I know I did it. And like, we're stressing about the Chiefs or whatever. Like, wake me up in January. I'm not going to waste my time.
Absolutely.
Any other things on this game? Any other predictions you want to get out here?
Ooh, you know, for me, I'm just hoping that, you know, when we talk, you know, Super Bowl MVP, I'm hoping I see either Christian or Pacheco there. That's what I'm hoping for. Just kind of like a big, you know, just sign of like, yes, running backs, you know, we still got it. You know, and this narrative of, oh, the running backs, you know, they're not as making as much of an impact anymore because it's a passing league and all this stuff. So that's what I want to see. I want to see all the guys get through healthy. I want to see a good game, but I hope one of our guys is holding up that MVP trophy.
I mean, I think you got a shot with McCaffrey. I picked the Niners. Apparently, Frank Schwab and I are the only two people on the Yahoo staff to pick the Niners in this game. And my MVP pick was McCaffrey. And I think, like, just the way that Chiefs defense can be run on. Baltimore got away from it last week, and that was an issue. But I think the way they can be run on, like, I think we're going to see like 5-6 McCaffrey runs on the first drive. And if they can just get that script right from the beginning, I think they got a shot at this thing. Something, I think you got a shot there.
So, look, that's what I'm going for. And so, regardless, I mean, my man McCaffrey was in, you know, the MVP, you know, it's talk. I'm just like, come on, like, what are we talking about the running backs? Like, it's not all running backs, but there's definitely guys that absolutely make a huge difference if they're on the team or not. So, looking forward to seeing more impact from those guys.
So, let's talk about you.
Let's talk about me.
To wind down this
show.
Here we are.
Eckler's Edge. Let's talk about me.
Yeah, your name is in the pod.
There it is.
No Harmon's Hedge still. We're still working on that.
Harmon's Hedge. We'll see.
We're still working on that one. I don't know. Rainn Wilson was the one who said it, so we might owe him some money.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're gonna pay for that, but okay. We'll see. Eckler's Edge, your name's in the pod. Let's talk about you. Just again, probably heading into free agency this year.
Yes,
sounds like. But before we talk about that, I do want to just any reaction to Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Chargers.
Yeah,
what he's gonna like fit with Justin, because I'll say this from a personality standpoint. I mean, you know Justin obviously a lot more than I do. We did the pod with him last year.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, spent some time around Jim Harbaugh at times. I can't imagine two like different personalities.
See, I've been learning because I'm not like really familiar with Jim. Like, yeah. I've been like following Michigan like that all the time. I know he's just been really successful. And then obviously with the 49ers. So that's where I've actually been learning some of his players that used to coach the 49ers. I was talking to him and they were telling me just nothing but good things when it comes to culture, when it comes to the standard, all that. Obviously we have different personalities, you know, people have different personalities. So, you know, things need to mesh. It's not just a plug and play and all of a sudden now you're successful. Like it takes,
to be clear, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying.
No, like, I'm just saying in general too, like I think it's great from a standpoint of people who respect him. Obviously just won the national championship with Michigan as well. So that's amazing. But now it's like, it takes the village. Like we got to get buy-in from the players, got to get buy-in from the rest of the team, from everybody on whatever the standard that he's trying to set and whatever the culture that he's trying to set to go out there and actually execute now and actually be that team that, you know, we're having these expectations to be. And so regardless if I'm back there or not, super, super happy for them because it seems like, you know, there's a good buzz around that. I'm looking forward to watching how that plays out.
They wanted to catch that big fish before they move into that El Segundo
setup there.
Back in my old stomping grounds, okay. El Segundo. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a pretty good spot there. But, yeah, they wanted that big fish. Jim Harbaugh's that big fish. You go back and look at those offenses, too. Obviously, a very different type of quarterback in Colin Kaepernick at the time. But even when they had Alex Smith, they actually took advantage of his legs a good bit. I wonder if we'll see more of Justin Herbert kind of taking off a little bit maybe.
Justin can run.
He can run, yeah.
Justin can absolutely run. And so, you know, our philosophy last year was let's throw it down the field and run it downhill. And so, hey, it's like, hey, what type of team do you have? Is that going to be the same type of philosophy? Are you going to try to, you know, morph it into something else? Like, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. All I know is, you know, and we all know this, but Justin's a stud. He'll continue to you know, do his thing. But it takes, like I said, it takes a village. We all got to be able to step up. Like I said, if I'm back there, I already know. We've learned from last year. I know what I know the type of leader that I need to be there, which is not what I was doing last year. And so I've learned from last year, too.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean. So, like, for me, like, I'm a great person in the room when it's like, hey, let's bring energy, like let's get people going, like get people ready, get people excited to be there. But I think we needed more cohesiveness, you know, and more of that off the field, you know, that stickiness of being around each other. We need more leadership in that aspect, in my opinion, of just that culture, holding ourselves to a standard as far as how we go to meetings, how we go to practice, and things like that. I would have wanted more. I wanted more from my leadership in that aspect, and what I could have brought there. So I've learned from that, and looking forward to apply that to any team that I go and play on in the future. And I'm looking for other teammates like that are the same, that kind of have already been there or have been around that. And so I'm continuing to learn as an individual and as a person. But that's one thing that I've learned from last year that I'm trying to apply this next.
Ever evolving.
Always.
So yeah, I'm not going to do the typical questions because this is not that type of show of like,
what you got? What do you want to talk about?
Where do you see yourself playing next year?
I think it's, you know, yeah, absolutely. So even just getting into it, let's just have a conversation, you know, like for me, it's an open book really. I haven't closed anyone off. There's obviously things that I'm looking at that I can't negotiate on. Like I definitely want a fair market price, whatever that terms to be, you know, and that's going to be determined. That's TBD depending on what the appetite for Austin on your team is. Are you in a need of a running back? Is it going to be a tandem? Are you wanting me to be your main guy? You know, are you actually in a place where, hey, you like throwing the ball to your running backs? Or we run 30 times a game, you know, like all of these different fits are going to have to play in a part of, hey, where am I going? What's the conversation? So that opens up here like in a month. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's like, what's the appetite for someone like myself? You know, because there's other people on the market too. So,
yes,
you know, so we'll see kind of how the running back market plays out. But here's the thing. I'm keeping an open mind going into it, looking just to make the most impact as I can as a leader. And then obviously making plays on the field.
And this is a new situation for you too, because you've only ever played for one team. You've never actually hit the open market. So,
correct.
Do you have a good idea of like what to expect if and when? Yeah, I mean, just eyes wide open.
No idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Zero idea. And I kind of like it that way because I also have my expectations kind of wide open to expect everything from maybe worst case scenario to best case scenario. And so we'll see how it plays out. Cause here's the thing. I've had enough, I've had enough, I think, of a reputation that I've built for myself over the past years. It sucks, obviously, going into a down year right before you know, free agency. There's just a down year for our entire club, unfortunately. So, but the thing is, still motivated, still ready to go and make plays, still ready to make an impact on the team. And it's nothing I haven't been through before. I've been through ups, been through downs. That's how I'm even here. You know, used to be number three running down on kickoff, you know. And so for now, for where I'm at and from where I was, I'm so proud of myself and the journey that I continue to build on. And I know that there's some more to go. And where it is, though, I don't know.
Hey, man, like I said, I'm proud of you, too, not just because of the career you had, but like I said this to you at one point during the season, that it's one thing to come on Eckler's Edge Yahoo Fantasy Football Show when you're the number one running back. But, you know, when you're having the season that you had and you're banged up and, you know, I mean, like that's another thing, too. And how healthy were you down the stretch? I mean, did you feel like you were 100%, man? Or
no. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're never 100%. Never 100%. Yeah. And then when you go through injury, you're trying to rehab injury by also getting tackled and going through the stuff that injured you, you know? And so it's kind of counterproductive. But it's the nature of football. I've been playing football 20 years, man. And
it's worth repeating because this is something that I talk about on the show all the time, not just with you, but with other guys too. Like had this conversation with Steph Diggs today. People were like, what's the reason for this statistical drop off? It's like, well, maybe he's going through something that you don't, know about, right? And even though, Austin is back out there and that O or Q or whatever, the red letter next to his name on the fantasy app is not there anymore, that doesn't mean that things aren't going on.
Right. And I think, I mean, there's countless examples of that, but I think one that really stands out and that's really relevant now is like, look at Raheem, like what he did this year.
Yeah.
This man's been battling injury his entire career and now finally puts a healthy season together. And now look at him, he's one of the top backs in the league, you know, scoring touchdowns, making plays for the Dolphins. And that guy's, he's 31. Dude's 3 years older than I am. And so it just goes to show everyone's got kind of a different scenario. And then it's like, if you deal with injury, guess what? It's going to put a damper on your, I mean, even look at Christian.
Yeah.
Look at Christian. Put a healthy season together. Dude is the best, like hands down. But, you know, he's been battling injuries. Like, okay, like, he's, you know, he's getting in his rhythm. But when he's healthy, he's good. And he's kind of dealing with stuff. And so it's like, this is football. This is not, you know, this fairy tale of like, oh, this is Austin Eckler. This is what he's going to do because he did it last 2 years. Like, I have to go out and do it again. And there's going to be factors that play into this game that we can't control. And it's unfortunate, but it's the nature of the game. And so for me, dealt with some injuries, dealt with high ankle sprain, sprained my other ankle, and just dealing with, you know, as a runner, you know, I told you I'm walking down my stairs sideways in the morning because I'm like, get these ankles going. That's one thing I always complain to my fiance. I'm like, never again. We're not getting stairs. No more stairs.
No more stairs. One floor.
One floor from here on out. I'm like, can't do it in the morning. But those are things that the people on the outside, it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to the clubs either necessarily on game day.
Right.
Like it's just like, are you winning? Are you not?
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where, you know, you can't control, but hey, you continue to put your best foot forward, try to get back as healthy as you possibly can and try to do the best that you possibly can. And that's where I'm at right now, where body's back, healthy, ready to go, get back into training and get ready for next season.
Yeah. Last thing there, like you mentioned, just roll like tandem back, you know, running, receiving the whole thing. Where do you kind of see Austin Eckler at this point in your NFL career? Like, where do you see yourself from a role perspective?
I can see myself in both, you know, kind of like if it was the same of what I just went through, where it was like, hey, maybe you have some other guys that you like in the room, but you want me to come and be more of your feature main back. Like I just went through with Josh and I, and Isaiah, I could see myself in that position. I could also see myself in the same position where I was before, like with Melvin. And then, you know, I was like, we were like a split kind of like what you saw with David and Jameer. I see those two scenarios really being the primary position I'm playing in. And if it's anything other than that, then, you know, let's say, okay, well, what the heck? Like I probably am looking at a different team, you know? Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that you'd feel a lot better after game day if maybe in one of those tandem type situations.
Well, I mean, that's not even a question. That's just statistics. And that's just, what am I talking about? Just the nature of football, right? If you take less reps, take less carries, you're, you know, less prone to get injured. Like you're going to feel better. You know, if you're taking them all, absolutely going to feel like.
Well, you got a lot of names on the running back market. Like you mentioned, the current guys that are going to hit free agency, and we'll see what happens. Maybe these guys come back on the team, but whatever. You, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley. Like, it's a lot of the same names from last year because of the franchise tag, but at the same time, then there's going to be guys like you, guys like Derrick Henry. I mean, did you see the Derrick Henry thing where, like, he's literally giving an address to the stadium? Like, somebody handed him a microphone and he's just – did you see this at all?
I saw that he, like, was, like, giving his farewell
to, like – addressed the fans and even, like – he was going on and like thanking the cooking staff and the janitors. Some reporters like, why are you thanking everybody? He's like, why wouldn't I thank everybody? But what blew my mind is like, he's not retiring. He's just a free agent. Like, right, and he's just, there's no conversation about like, yeah, maybe we bring you back on a lesser deal. That was crazy to me. I don't know.
Hey, you know, he's just a thankful guy. He's thinking of the staff that's helped him get all the way through the season. I mean, come on, like, give the guy a break.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Okay, I just thought mind-blowing that, like, they're not even going to have any pretense of, like, he's back there. He's just saying, like, goodbye this. So
here's the thing. You never want to close any doors if you don't have to, if it could potentially be a landing spot for you, because then it's just now it's awkward. And maybe they've had those conversations. We don't know. Maybe there's like, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction this offseason, and maybe that's the case. Maybe he wants to. You know, maybe he wants to, and saying it without saying it.
True.
So we'll find out here in about, you know, a month when everything opens up.
Well, it's very fascinating. And doesn't sound like there's going to be like a first round draft pick in this running back class either by all the draft people that at least I talked to. So no Bijan Robinson, no Jahmyr Gibbs. Right, McDonald?
That's right.
There's only one Bijan.
Indeed.
But it doesn't sound like there's like a – he's a Falcons fan. Okay. But it doesn't sound like there's like a first-round draft pick in this class, so maybe that opens up more opportunities for these guys on the free agent market. Well, Austin, I think that's going to do it for this season of Eckler's Edge, for this show. Damn Super Bowl coming up.
Yep.
Free agency coming up.
Yep.
A lot of things are about to happen, but, man, again – it's been awesome to do this show with you. You've been an incredible podcast partner. Everybody working on this show has been fantastic.
Yes.
We said we were going to have a better year than 2022. And in my opinion, I think this was an even better year this year.
Yeah. It takes a lot to put on the show. So thanks to everyone that's been involved, all the producers, everyone looking, doing discovery for us, helping us put together scripts, all of that, film, editing. And so, yeah. And then us coming up here, and we get to do the easy part. In my opinion.
Dude, for sure. I always think that it's like, yep, send the audio into Colin and then I'm out of here.
Enjoy
the rest of your day.
I'm just going
to go wander around. Yeah,
I'm going to go watch, you know, the game or, you know, look at my team and stuff like that.
Around. I go do other work.
Blankie and
I will say there was one like Saturday, you know, it wasn't a full Sunday. No. So it wasn't on the hook for an article, wasn't on hook for a podcast that night. Yeah. And it gets cold there in Virginia. I didn't like LA. So I was at one point watching a game with the blanket on. I thought,
This is what Austin was talking about.
This is exactly
this
what
is
Austin
what he was talking
said.
About. How he thinks all the fans watch under their blankie. Under the blankie.
Jeez, these guys really are not really running the ball well in the cold there. It's a bunch of soft NFL players. Right, what is going on here? Didn't have any hot cocoa, though, but I did have a moment of self-loathing under that blanket, thinking, like, thank God Austin Eckler is not seeing this right now.
Hey, I still respect you. We need everyone that, hey, if you do sit under a blankie and you drink your tea and your hot chocolate, we appreciate you watching, appreciate your support. I just think it's funny because I'm out there just freezing, you know, playing in the cold. And, you know, you guys are out here just, you know, just giving me all these critiques that you need me to do. And you're over here. Yes. But anyway, I digress. It's been an amazing show. I've had so much fun with this. And so who knows what's going on in the future, but, you know. Regardless, you know, best wishes for you and everything. And then
right back at you, man. Yeah, man. You know, it's going to be great. I can't wait to follow everything that happens from a football standpoint, the off season, everything. I'll be checking in on you, making sure everything's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I always see your clips. You're all over the place. So, you know, and I work with some people in the fantasy, but you work with Matt. Like, you're a celeb, man. I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but people are like, I got someone on my team. He really looks up to you. He's like, oh, yeah. He's one of my guys that does like a lot of my operating. His name is Alex.
Oh, well, shout out to Alex.
He's got his own, like, he's got his own page, got his own like Discord, like 60,000 followers and stuff like that. So he's been doing a lot of stuff on Twitter. And he's like, Matt? Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I follow a lot of Matt's stuff. So just know, you're making an impact out there. Keep going, man.
Yeah, you too, man. People know who you are when I say I do a show with Austin Eckler. They're like, I'm familiar.
Oh, I know that guy.
Familiar with his work.
Yeah, so we must be doing something right. We're making an impact. That's what it's about right here.
Yeah, we're doing something right, man. And this show has been great. Love doing it again. Like I said, best wishes to you.
Likewise.
To Mel, to the whole wedding.
Thank you.
Good luck, man.
My eyebrows, you know, good luck.
And we will discuss the eyebrows. We will have to get this done at some point because – a bet's a bet, man. Whether you just, I don't know, send in a video of you shaving them off and we post it on Twitter, it goes super viral, or we get back together. I don't know. I mean, shoot, I'll fly out there to California, shave your eyebrow,
That's something that's worth, that's flying out for?
Well, Yahoo's going to pay for it. I'm not paying for it.
All right, we'll exclusively live on Yahoo's platform. There you go.
On that note.
There you go.
It's been a hell of a time. appreciate y'all. We will be back. Well, I'll be back on the show with Andy Behrens on Monday morning, recapping the Super Bowl. Yeah, either Andy or Scott. I don't know. I will be there. Somebody else will be there. It's going to be a great show. Shout out to Austin Eckler. Shout out to all of you out there. We'll see you next time. Until then, we're out.